Hi, I'm Laura, and welcome to The Deadline. This is the podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. We have some nice little announcements to give you, some info. All this info is contained on the homepage of our website, which is located on the web at www.njghs.net. Our upcoming meetings include Hazlitt, that's in October 4th. That's the first Wednesday of the month. That's Greg and Sherry Irish, who lead up that team of the Central Jersey Division. And their meeting takes place in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road. All meetings start at 7 and end at 8:30 p.m., and they're all open to the public. So anyone who's interested, even if you're not a member, show up to one of the meetings. We also have our meeting coming up next week, in fact, if you're listening to the show. It's on September 19th at the Community Center in Hackettstown. It's the Northwest Division. That's the one that I lead up. That's located at 293 Main Street in the Blue Room. And after that will be September 28th, the Bogota Recreation Center. It's the Northeast Division, which is headed up by Laura Lindemann, and that's located at 162 West Main Street. Again, if you missed any of these dates, times, places, check out njghs.net. It's right there on the homepage. So I am booking up for presentations. I don't know if you've had a chance yet, Brian, to check out the website.
Of course I have.
Oh, good. So you saw I put on the homepage, excuse me, a link for Halloween. And if you click on that,
it
takes
you... I know. You put it above the deadline. Oh, my God.
Well, you know. So, yeah, Halloween 2006, you click on that, and it takes you to the Halloween 2006 page where we have links for all different things. And we're asking people, if you know of any great haunted houses, corn mazes, hay rides, whatever, they have a link, excuse me, then feel free to email laurah@njghs.net, the link and the info on the haunted things and events, and I'll be glad to post it on the Halloween page that we have. Also on that page at the very top is this thing that says Ghost Hunt and Tour. And if you click on that, it takes you to the page that announces our Ghost Hunt and Tour alongside with Vince Wilson, author of Ghost Tech, for Maryland Mysterious Maryland Tours.
Very nice.
Yeah. And that's going to be on Saturday, November 4th, down in Baltimore, Maryland. It's only $15 per person because we're getting an NJGHS buddy rate. It's normally $20 a person.
Is alcohol involved?
Afterwards.
Oh, perfect.
I mean, yeah, we're talking Laura and Vince here. Come on.
Duh.
So, yeah, check that out if you would like to. It's right on the heels of Halloween, Saturday, November 4th. And if you're still in that whole holiday mood, head on down to Baltimore, and you can register right from that page. It's only $15, PayPal, Visa, MasterCard accepted, yada, yada.
Matter of fact, make a whole day of it. Spend the day in the aquarium and at night go to the
zoo. Oh, absolutely. And it starts early enough. So I still have some more kinks to work out. I'm waiting to hear back from the sales manager at Days Inn Inner Harbor to see if I can get a group rate on overnight accommodations so I could pass that along for people who want to stay overnight. And I'm waiting to hear back if we can put together a nice buffet dinner with Vince and myself.
Wow.
Yeah, and work that in too, because we're going to start out early. And it starts out at 4:30 in the afternoon. We'll meet in the lobby of that hotel. Vince is going to take us on a murder tour, showing all the different murder spots and giving you all the history and stories while we walk over to the graveyard. We'll go to Edgar Allan Poe's grave. And then we're going to go underneath the church and descend into the catacombs.
Dun, dun, dun.
You'll hear all the history and mystery. And you'll have 2 solid hours, basically, that you can go outside and investigate the graveyard or stay in the catacombs and investigate. And then we have to be out of there at 8 o'clock. So then we make our way back to the hotel, and I'm hoping at 8:30 we could have a nice sit-down, like, buffet kind of dinner, and if they'll go for it at the hotel. So stay tuned for that. But, you know, again, all the meals, lodging, transportation, all that's on your end. But, you know, and we're not making anything off of it because we're just charging the buddy rate that he's giving me.
That's right.
You know, so, and we're not doing it. That's why I'm not doing any, like, oh, member price and non-member price. It's just $15. I'm passing it right along to you, so. So check that out on our Halloween page. Like I said, it's a little bar on the top of the page to click on. You'll get the info, and you can keep an eye on it as all the other stuff transpires when I get the hotel booked and all that. So, you know where I was this past Sunday? be nice.
Oh, damn it. Let me see. I sense New Jersey.
Yes. Yes. Very good.
I sense Trenton.
No.
No?
Oh, God, no. Totally opposite. Well, not in area, but in financial. Yeah, I was in Princeton.
Oh, same thing.
Oh, no. Princeton's gorgeous. So I was on this estate in Princeton with Metro Video Production and Gold Castle Films.
Ooh.
Yes, I have made my big movie debut. Okay, I've loved doing radio. I've done a couple cable TV shows. I've even done an internet commercial I acted in for the BT-2000. Okay, that's going way back. But this was the first ever to be really what's going to be a movie. It's going to go right to DVD, trust me. It will not be in... Well, they said the premiere... I think he said the premiere is going to be in November sometime. So, you know, Brian, you're invited. I know I've invited my guy Peter to go along. So that you guys will be my entourage.
Oh, lovely.
And, yeah.
So where's the limo?
Yeah, we should. I mean, we should rent a limo and, you know, just load it up with the captain and Coke and fresh limes. And what's your drink of choice?
Coors Light.
Coors Light. That's too easy, man.
Oh, like Captain isn't easy.
Well, you know, it's that Coke that's a killer. No. But yeah, so we should do that. We should pull up in the limo and get out. Well, of course, I'll be stumbling and pouring me out of the car, but in any event...
Actually, you know what would be even better?
Yeah.
If we could borrow the hearse, put you in a casket in the back.
Ooh.
No.
I'm claustrophobic.
But no, just not the whole ride, but like get around the corner, put you in real quick, then we pull you out, open it up, and you walk out.
Oh.
That would be an interesting opening.
Hmm. Well, Carl, if you're listening, there's food for thought. It's, you know, Morticia belongs to Carl now.
I know.
Bought her, so. And I got to see Morticia on Sunday. She was there. In fact, I even got to get inside of her. That was my final scene. Oh, did I mention? I played the Danbury, Connecticut coroner. Coroner, not foreigner. Everybody keeps thinking I'm like from another country. Not foreigner, coroner. The person's like, I see dead people kind of person who cuts them open, does the autopsy, coroner. So I have my big line where the reporter is supposed to run underneath the police tape on the crime scene where I'm standing there talking with the record producer guy.
Right.
And the reporter is supposed to shove the microphone on my face and say, can you tell us anything about what happened here or whatever it is? And I just say, no comment, please. My big line. And then in my final scene, they have to shoot it where I'm walking to the hearse, and I open the door, and the passenger side get in, and they film us pulling out, leaving the crime scene. So that was exciting. I got to get inside Morticia. And
how long did it take you to memorize your line?
Not long at all. I was so thankful, because when they said, you know, I was like, no speaking parts, oh God, no speaking parts, I have no memory. And he's like, just say, like, no comment, please. You know, and I thought, oh, okay. So I gave, like,
oh,
no comment, please.
Now you know how I feel.
What?
When we go and do these tapings, and I don't want to be on camera. I don't want to be on camera.
I know, and you're the star, baby. You're a star. So if you want to check out goldcastlefilms.com, they did a lot of still shots. I don't know if any of the pictures from Sunday are up there, you know, or any of them that I'm in, but I know we did a nice... Carl took a nice group shot of all of us at the end, and I was one of three redheads, so obviously Metro Video has a thing for redheads.
You must have had a big budget.
Yeah, you know. And the actor that I was standing opposite of, who's playing the record producer, his name is Tony Rugnetta. He's been in some other productions by Carl, and same with the lead actress. The lead actress who's playing the part of Aubrey, I forget her last name, but Aubrey is the character that she's... This actress has been in Requiem for a Vampire and a couple other of Carl's flicks, you know. So anyway, but Tony Rugnetta, he was just a throwback to the days of when men were gentlemen, you know. I mean, I almost fell over because I was putting with, they're like, we need to take a still shot. And it was getting warm as the day was wearing on. So I had taken my blazer off And they're like, no, you got to put the jacket back on. We have to take some still shots. So I'm putting, and as I'm reaching to put the jacket on, all of a sudden I feel like this thing, it lifts up, and he was there behind me, like, helping put my jacket on. I almost fell over. I'm like, oh, my God, a gentleman. So, you know, and he was very polite. He was like, I don't know how many times he thanked me for, like, coming down and being part of this. And just, but he did tell me that he has a radio, like an internet radio show.
Right.
And so I want to give a shout out to him. It's every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a Frank Sinatra show. Now, Tony is a good gentleman from the days of, I guess, like, I don't know, he's from Brooklyn, so we started talking about cannolis and everything. I'm sure it, like, he would know the best places to take me to eat, because I'm telling you, my Italian food, I just never can. I could eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I can remember back in the day when my parents were, like, scraping by on a really thin budget, and my mother would apologize for having to serve spaghetti again. I'd be like, no way, dude. I can eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know. No apologies.
I don't see you saying that to your mother.
Oh, no, no. Not quite in that context. But
otherwise, I see a back of a hand coming towards you.
No, seriously, I told her, Mom, it's don't feel bad. I love it. I love spaghetti. I love pasta. Anything Italian food, except like the scongioli and all that kind of octopus stuff, no. But anyway, so if you check out Tony Rugnetta's page and show, it's listed at www.topshelf.com. Oldies, that's oldies.com, and then if you want to get right to his page, it's / Tony, T-O-N-Y .html, so topshelfoldies.com, and every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. you can hear Tony doing his Frank Sinatra show. So,
now, is it live or pre-recorded?
The way he told me about it, I get the sense it's live. It's like, you know, how we're doing our podcast, we record it, and then it uploads. But his, it sounds like he just, it's like a radio show, but it's done over the internet.
Okay.
And, yeah, because it says on the thing what show comes after his. And so it was pretty good. You know, really nice guy. Met all these people, so it was really cool. And what else? Oh, I told you about how we're going to do the thing in Maryland, so we got to get that up and running. And oh, did we want to do the shout-out?
Or do you want to do your presentations?
Didn't I already cover those?
No.
Oh, man. Okay, thank you. All right, presentations. Now, again, these are on the Halloween page of the website. October.
Above the deadline.
Well, I'm still waiting, actually, for this lovely little form to be faxed to me from the accountant person in the purchasing department of Ocean County Library Systems. Apparently, you can't walk through the front door of an Ocean County library and do a presentation and just take a donation. It has to be, you have to be listed in their system as a vendor and have a tax ID with the state and all this malarkey, okay? I was like, the woman called me, I said, look, I'm going to cancel this presentation because I'm not going through all this red tape to do something and drive 3 hours to do it. Right. It's not worth it for me. She's like, oh, I understand. Well, what if we had the form faxed to you? And they told me it's not that big a deal to fill it out. I'm like, all right, fax it. I'll take a look at it. I mean, if it's going to put my butt on the line tax-wise and financially implicate me, it's like, forget it. You know,
exactly.
I'll just go somewhere local and people want to put money in a hat and say, gee, thanks for showing up. Great. Otherwise, you know. So right now it's questionable for October 5th for the Jackson Library at 7 p.m., and that's also going to make it questionable for November 1st, the Ocean County Library itself in Lakewood. Other than that, I know we're confirmed for October 13th, the Leisure Village in Lakewood at 7. October 14th, the Science Fiction Society of Northern New Jersey is hosting my presentation at Borders Books in the Paramus Plaza Mall. That's Paramus, New Jersey at 8 p.m. October 19th, I'll be up in good old Belvedere at the Belvedere Women's Club at 7:30. And October 23rd, I'll be down in the Matawan Aberdeen Library, Matawan, New Jersey at 7 p.m. You all know Matawan for? Rose Hill Cemetery.
Oh, well, I've been there in a year.
Oh, okay. All right. Well. All right. So. All right.
And besides, I didn't get anything in that cemetery anyway.
Well, wasn't that the one where people were getting pelted with rocks and stuff?
Yeah, but I didn't see it happen, and no one got it on tape. And
nobody recorded that?
No. I mean, they have I thought they had like a digital recorder, but it just sounded like stuff falling through trees. I mean, that could have been anything. It could have been a stick.
Well, it could have been What are those trees that drop little acorns, or those sticky, or a sweet anything. Gum tree where the sticky balls
could
fall?
Could have been squirrels. Anything. I mean, there's a lot of things.
Those squirrels, man, they have a sick sense of humor.
Tell me about it.
It comes from eating all them nuts. Okay, cut. No.
Please.
All right, so let's move along to shout out. Each week we give a shout out to a paranormal investigating group or ghost hunting club. We want to recognize those exceptional organizations out there in the field who are doing the research and sharing their findings via their websites. If you would like your group shouted out at, send an email with the link to your website to the deadline at njghs.net. We'll check out your site, and if you make the grade, we'll email you to let you know which show your shout out will be aired. This week's shout out goes to www.appalachianghostwalks.com. That's ghostwalks, plural, .com. Appalachian Ghost Walks. They do great work, and what I like about them, 10% of all their profits goes to St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
Yeah, gotta love it.
Yeah, I think that's nice to give something back, and for kids, that's even better. So there's your shout out. Yay, Appalachian Ghost Walks. So check them out at appalachianghostwalks.com. Okay, so we have another update. Yeah, I have a new number on my business cards and on my Who's Who profile on the NJGHS page.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I took down my cell phone number for personal reasons. It's just been getting... It's a little too costly to have people calling you on your cell phone. So... I got this really inexpensive, cool thing called eVoice. My first month is free.
Right.
And after that, like come October 5th, they'll start billing me $4.95 a month. I have my own number. It's 908-325-0140. People can call up. They hear my voice. They leave a message. It text messages my cell phone, so I know I have a message. I call in. I hear the message. I can check the message. It also emails the message to my email account. So there's all these ways I can see it on the computer, I can get it off my cell phone, I can dial in, and then I can take down the name and number of the person who called and call them back from a landline at work, so it doesn't cost me anything. So anyway.
That's okay, they can hear us.
Okay. So anyway, that number is 908-325-0140. So, and finally, before we go to commercial break here, we had a winner for August. Remember, you know, I forgot to pick one, and it was the end of the month. And
what a shock.
I know, but I did do, I took notes, and I made a note of myself. Our winner for August from the Parashare submissions is Sarah Simmons. So Sarah, with an H, will receive her NJGHS membership card and certificate in the mail. Congratulations, Sarah.
Woohoo!
Woo! Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
Hi, I'm Donna Kent, President of Cosmic Society of Paranormal Investigation, and you're listening to The Deadline.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Parashare. Now, thanks to those of you who took the time to write in and share your great ghostly encounters and paranormal experiences, you're now entered in the monthly drawing for membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. And don't let that prohibit you from sending in a Parashare because you're like, oh, so what, I'm already a member, what's the point of winning that? It's, even if you win it, you can pass it on to someone, so...
Yeah, don't be a loser, just send it in.
Just send it in, you know, please. That's all I'm going to say. Just send in your ghostly encounters. And it doesn't even have to be ghosts. It could just be like a time shift or something odd happened. I mean, I don't want to hear stories about faces that you see in clouds or in the pine paneling in your den. But, you know, kind of more paranormal stuff.
Well, not unless the face was talking to you.
You got it on tape. Even better.
Even better.
Okay. So, if you haven't already, please send your parishioners to thedeadline@njghs.net, and you can also use the handy form to fill in on the deadline page of the njghs.net website. And if your story really rocks, we're going to invite you to come in and be on the show and tell it yourself. And we're right here in Parsippany, so it's not a big hall, you know. And Brian provides the
Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
There you go. In fact, I even went to Dunkin' Donuts on the way to work this morning and got myself a medium light and sweet because I said I better caff up because I have all the podcasts to do tonight. So. And I figured I have to be true to my Dunkin' Donuts. Because after all, Dunkin' Donuts is the official coffee of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
That's right, even though I don't drink any.
You always caff up at Dunkin' Donuts before an investigation. Okay. So, I do have a parishioner. I know, I do this because I said that because Brian's seated. I didn't want him to hurt himself if he fell from the shock. We do have a parishioner, and this parishioner comes to us from a brand new member. Actually, she submitted a parishioner about maybe in our last show or the show before that. Her name is Kathy Udine. And she says that she does feel bad for us because we're not getting the amount of stories that we should. So she took the time to write another one. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you to our one true member.
Well, we've had a couple other true blue people, like Margaret and Dina, you know, who have submitted
stuff. I can't remember the last time Dina sent us a parishioner.
There you go, Dina. The challenge is on. Okay. So here's what Kathy writes in. This one took place when I was only 12 years old. I was dog-sitting for the people down the street for a week. They lived in a house that was built in 1743. When I was younger, the people who lived there before them had several girls around my age, and we used to play together, but my mother never liked me to go inside their house because the mother was always having a séance. Whoa. I went down there a couple times a day to feed and walk the dog, and I had no trouble all week. However, on the last day, when I opened the door, the dog was crouching and whining under the table. I thought he must have chewed something up or messed in the house, so I started looking around. As I headed upstairs, I looked into the door on the left. There, standing in the room, was a pillar of gray, something with no real form. As I stood there confused, I got the distinct sensation it was turning to look at me. Well, I was only 12 years old, and so as you can imagine, I ran down the stairs and out the door with the dog closely on my heels. I ran home and kept the dog at my house for the last day. Just before the owners were due home, I made my brother take the dog. Nice. Hey, brother. Made my brother take the dog back there and return the key. I never saw it again, but then I never dog sat for them again either. I still get the creeps driving by that house today as I go to visit my parents. I have noticed that over the last 15 years or so, it has been sold and resold several times. I think I know why. Hope you enjoyed the story, Kathy Udine. Yes, I do. And if these people were messing with seances and stuff...
Oh, yeah.
They definitely opened a pretty vicious portal, no doubt. And the house is not going to be inhabitable by human folk until you clean that out, you know?
Get out!
So, you know, thank you very much for that parishioner. Now, that should spawn some of you on. Like, think about it. Think of the houses you've lived in, like...
Even when you were younger.
Just like in my book. Yes, I am still writing the book.
Yeah, okay.
I am. And in my book, I will tell you about when we had to live in a haunted house. And, you know, I still remember it to this day, the different things that happened, and, you know. So there's got to be more of you out there. Now, somebody was telling me that now it is some law that a realtor or whatever has to disclose to you if the house is potentially haunted. I thought they only had to tell you if there was a murder or a death.
Nope,
but
now they have to tell you
that it's haunted.
Full disclosure on everything, including paranormal occurrences.
Whoa. So then why aren't we getting more cases that we should be, like, hooking up with all these realtors so we can go in and say, yeah, it's haunted, you know?
I still think they try to keep it hush-hush.
Okay.
Because they're probably, well, we didn't know.
But think about it. If you're a realtor out there and you call in the largest investigating, paranormal investigating organization, okay, which is the NJGHS in the state of New Jersey, and you call us up and you say, look, you know, I'm going to list this house on the market, but I got a feeling about it, we send a team in and we'll tell you, hey, you don't have to worry about anything. It's not haunted. There's nothing paranormal, you know. Or we may say, look, we found this, this, and this. And then I can always point you in the right direction of either cleansing it out.
Right, right.
And that way, we could give the stamp of approval from NJGHS. The house is inspected and certified non-paranormal. Good to go.
Well, I don't know if we want to do that.
Well, I mean, but we could at least say, hey, we were here, this is what we found, and right, these are steps you can take to clean it out.
Or that's something they could talk to the prospective buyer and say, you know, look, we've had an organization come in there, mm-hmm, check the house, and even though these people say that these have happened, you know, they've seen nothing.
Right. So, anyway. So, Weikert, if you're out there.
Remax, Century 21.
Think of us. NJGHS.net. All right. So, you know what? Interesting story here. And it's in a book. I don't know if you've... Have you ever seen this book, Doors to Other Worlds?
No, I have not.
Okay, it's written by a really cool English guy named Raymond Buckland. It's Doors to Other Worlds, a practical guide to communicating with spirits. Now, not that we want to do any spirit provocation stuff, but this...
Like other organizations?
Yeah. But this was very interesting. It's under the heading in the chapter of Spirit Photography on page 165. Now, we all do spirit photography, basically. You know, we're on an investigation. We're using our digital still cameras, our 35mm cameras, our video cameras. But this is called Photographs Without a Camera. Okay.
All right.
Now, I have to read it verbatim because for me to try and do, like, a little, like, I don't know, paraphrasing of it just wouldn't do it justice. So here you go. An experiment was carried out in 1932 in Los Angeles. A number of scientists were present and were subsequently able to reproduce the results. Now, that's good for us from the investigator perspective, because that's what we're looking for, is replication. Okay, they gathered together in a photographic darkroom. The only light was the red safe light, normally used in the darkroom. To double-check that there was no light intrusion of any sort, sheets of unexposed photographic paper were put down on the floor all around the room. If there was any extraneous light, it would show up on one or more of those afterwards. Okay, you with me?
Yep.
Sheets of similarly sensitized photographic paper were cut into strips about 2 inches wide and passed out to the scientists. They were instructed to hold the strip by the ends across their foreheads, bowed out so that it did not actually contact the skin. So it's like you're holding one end up, you know, kind of forming like a U in front of your forehead. Okay. The sensitive side was towards their skin. Holding the strips of paper in this fashion, the scientists then concentrated their thoughts on various objects of their own choosing. For example, one would concentrate on a person, another on a building, another on a flower or a bird. After a period of this intense concentration, all the paper was gathered up and processed. None of the sheets scattered around the floor produced anything, showing that there was no light seepage of any sort. But of the strips, several developed actual pictures corresponding to the image that the holder had thought. How do you like that?
Interesting.
No camera, just holding the photographic paper, concentrating on an image, go and develop it, and there's what you were concentrating on. So.
Now, how come they don't have any pictures? They should have the pictures of those pieces of film.
In the book, yeah. Well, I'm sure he couldn't get his hands on all that. Now, what this makes me wonder about is auto-suggestion. Like, people work a Ouija board, and they're like, oh, I got the spirit, and it's saying all this. Well, how do you know it's just not your higher self having a great old time conversing with you? And, you know, they've often theorized that, you know, it's kind of like your own subconscious or higher self that's really kind of sending those electrical impulses down your arm and forcing you to move the planchette, even though you're not consciously moving the planchette. Same with automatic writing, but... Then I don't know. I mean, years ago, I admit I was a bad girl. I messed with automatic writing and stuff. But the way I did it was I put the pen in my left hand because I'm a righty. And I could write discernible text with my left hand that normally I can't do to save my life. So,
oh, you're right.
I don't recommend you do that because you are opening yourself up. You're putting yourself at risk. It's just like doing the Ouija board. It's only at a step higher, so don't mess with that. But I did do it. It did work. But this really made me wonder, you know, like how much of when we're on an investigation. You know how I always tell people, like, they get all excited if they're part of the team?
Right.
And they want to go out and do all this background information ahead of time, and I always say, no, I want you going in virgin. I don't want you having any preconceived ideas. I just want you walking in completely blank, basically, and absorbing what is there, taking everything into account, taking your notes, taking your data and your pictures and everything. This is why. If you already think you know the answer, you're going to jump the gun and probably imprint some of that right onto the picture. You're like, see, I knew it was the lady in white who died here, and, you know. So that's why I usually don't like my investigators to know anything ahead of time. Just send them in and let them collect data, and then
right.
The research is in the analysis afterwards and the historical background check. And so that's why you can really suggest quite a bit, you know. So there is an experiment that proved it. You're right, though. I would like to see those strips of paper to see what they captured.
The only thing is I'm thinking with that is with the strips so close, maybe the heat, body heat. Maybe it's so close, maybe your own body heat.
Yeah, but you still have to, they got the image, you know?
Was it the exact
And photographic image? Paper is light sensitive, not heat.
I know, but maybe the heat affected it somehow. Who knows?
Well, in any event, it was some energetic transference where...
Right, but then in the pictures, were they exactly that? Or was it, well, you know what, it kind of looks
see,
like...
that I don't know.
See, that's...
He's just saying in the book, the author says several of them. So it wasn't a 100% success rate, apparently. Not every scientist was able to do it, but there were several of them that succeeded. So that's, I don't know, I would like to see it too. It's pretty cool. Although, remember years ago on the show Sightings... They had those guys who with the Polaroid camera.
Right.
That they would ask a question and then shoot the Polaroid at a blank wall, and the picture of the wall would develop with the answer written on the wall, even though you didn't see the answer on the wall.
That was
pretty weird. That was pretty weird. See, guys, this is all the stuff you can be writing in saying, ooh, I did that, or ooh, I tried that. You know, that's a parashare. Hello. Anybody out there?
Come on, people.
Throw me a bone here. All right, so the Eastern State Penn certification that you did on September 2nd.
Yes.
They have until this Saturday, the 16th, to get their findings in.
That is correct. Or I flunk you.
And then the red pen comes out. And I don't know if anybody out there got a chance to check out the photo that we put on. I believe we put it on our photo page, or the investigation page we put it, by that Kathy had submitted.
Oh, no, I didn't see that one.
On the investigation page, it's where I put it. It was also sent to Jeff Rentz. Haven't heard back from him, but in the meantime, some pretty good debunkers scrutinized the photo, one of them being David Roundtree, and definitely diagnosed it as a fake. And, you know, I felt bad, but I had to write Kathy and tell her, you know,
yeah,
it's a fake. You know, nice try, but, you know. What happened was it looked like a really good ghostly face
above
a headstone. And yet when you zoomed in, you could realize by zooming in, it pixelated
everything else.
You know, the background and the tombstone, but the image stayed so sharp where it was like, okay, this is an aftermarket ghost here, you know. It didn't come with stock, you know. So thanks to David Roundtree and to Peter, who were really, you know, bouncing that around and examining it. And so I had to send a little email and kind of burst her bubble that, you know, it's been faked and we figured it out. And she wrote back. It turns out it was her daughter and the daughter's boyfriend. I think the daughter's boyfriend was having a field day, like, oh, you know, this ghost hunting crap, let's go in for the kill, you know, let's have some fun here. And, you know, not go in for the kill in a bad way, but I think, you know, the way Kathy explains it to me, her daughter was kind of like, well, Mom was disappointed that, you know,
she didn't really get anything.
So let's, and then they did see something. Okay, there was something there. And now that the original has been tampered with, we'll never know what it looked like. because apparently the daughter and the boyfriend took what was there, enhanced it, mirror-imaged it, and...
Saved over the original.
Yeah, saved over the original, but they did some mirroring and enhancing to create a full-face effect, and so there went that. So, you know, word to the wise, when you do your investigating, you make sure you keep all your media to yourself and review it yourself. And
put the kids in the closet.
Do a save as, so you keep the original in its original form in one folder, and then if you want another folder for where you want to lighten it or work with it in Photoshop just to see what else is there. I always do that, and then I'll compress it if I'm going to email it to somebody. You know, in Photoshop, just do save for web.
Right.
So you can reduce the size and make it more emailable. And so there's that. And so we're saying goodbye to the WB network this Sunday.
I know. I still don't figure out what... I can't figure out what happened.
And, you know, it looks like they're going to bring back... Seventh Heaven was going off the air after 10 years. They did the whole series finale. And now the new network, CW, is going to revitalize it. I'm like, well, you wrote it off to where everybody's given birth to twins. So basically they're going to have seven grandchildren. Get it? Seven kids, Seventh Heaven, now seven grandchildren. Oh, lovely. So that's going to come back. But they're doing, for the farewell for the WB network on Sunday, September 17th, that's Channel 11 in the New York metro area. I don't know where it is for other people.
I remember when it used to be PIX.
Yeah, WPIX. Yep. And that was a radio station, too. It was a cool rock and roll station. In fact, it's even in a Squeeze song. You know, PIX and rock and roll. It's in a song by Squeeze. Anyway.
Must be an old group.
It's like they were like the new wave band of the 80s. You remember Squeeze? Tilford and Dilbrook from England. They were the founders of it.
No.
Oh, man, you don't get out much, dude. So anyway, so you'll have to catch. They're going to do original pilot episodes for the shows Angel and I believe Dawson's Creek, which I could do without. Felicity, I think they're going to show.
Yeah.
Main one is Angel. I get one last.
Oh, you forgot the fourth one. Buffy.
Oh, yes, and Buffy. Now, Angel was the spinoff of Buffy. The WB didn't want to renew Buffy at the price they were demanding, but UPN9 picked them up. And yet they spun off Angel at an easier budget. And so it was weird. You know, they had two different networks. But Angel, we got a David Boreanaz fix, one last go. Although, you know, he's on Bones now. So he's, and that's a good show. That's on Wednesday nights on Fox, I believe.
Don't watch it.
Yeah. I've caught it a couple times. It's a little too kind of disturbing for me. I don't know. Can't.
Well, that's weird coming from you.
I know, right? You know, but I love seeing him, but some of the material is a little too graphic, gory, kind of upset. Like, especially with the child that got abducted. That's the one I watched, and they had cut off his pinky and sent the pinky to the guy, and couldn't deal with that.
Well, I'm going to be on Fox that night.
Yeah. So, tune in on the WB's Farewell this Sunday, September 17th, and watch the original episode of Angel. And then the new season kicks off on the 28th. We have the premiere or a season premiere of
Smallville
and Supernatural.
Finally.
Yay! And I still have on my DVR the season finale. I'm going to watch
it. I showed that the week prior.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they've been leading up to it because last Thursday was the one with the vampires.
Oh, really?
And they have the gun now. So I think this Thursday will be some other one, and then we'll have the next one.
No, this Thursday. Oh, right, because next Thursday would be the 22nd, and then the... Yeah.
Yep.
Very good. Or the 21st, yeah. Yeah, so, well, I figured I'll have to watch the season finale again, bring myself back up to speed to get all ready. And I'm telling you, that's it. The phone goes off. I get my Snuggies on. I have my healthy pop popcorn.
Why does your phone have to go off? No one's going to call you.
Oh, well, you never know. You know. No, that's how I know they'll call, because it's something I want to watch.
Yeah, but who's going to call? I mean, no one has your number anymore. Yeah,
a few people do.
E-voice.
In any event, I'm shutting off the phone, the computer, and getting my Snuggies on and having my healthy pop popcorn and curling up with my Supernatural.
On the CW, whatever the heck that stands for.
Oh, I saw what it's... Oh, and you know what it is? It's a combination of what's Channel 9 and Channel 11 now. So UPN is merged with WB.
So who bought who?
I would assume the WB won out because they got their W in there, CW. I don't know. But yeah, because UPN9 is now my way or my TV or some weird call name. Yeah, because that's when I read that was the merger. Then I flipped on channel 9. I'm like, well, then what's channel 9? It's like my TV or some weird thing. Yeah, not that I ever really got into channel 9. It's kind of
once in a while.
Remember they were WOR? Now that's when they were cool and they used to have the creature feature things and Chiller Theater. But I think Chiller was on PIX. And Creature Feature was on WOR.
I don't remember.
See, I'm a girl who was raised on this stuff. Chiller. Oh, I used to love that and Creature Features. My mother and I would race around like morons on Saturday morning to get the house clean, get all the chores done so we could sit down, eat lunch, and watch Creature Feature.
Okay.
And then Spaced Out Films. That was on Channel 9, too.
All right.
Yes. For those of you, send me an email if you remember Spaced Out Films and Creature Feature.
There won't be many of them.
All right, let's move on to Haunted Trivia. Last week you were asked, what is the name of the woman ghost seen at the Fort Garry Hotel located in Winnipeg, Canada? And the answer is Lady McMillan. We had no winners. No one even tried. They didn't even take a stab at it, you know?
God, people, I could have guessed that one right. Come on.
I mean, no, it was pretty challenging, but geez, Louise, nobody even guessed.
You know what? Nothing is challenging when you have the internet.
Oh, yeah. This is true. Well, it's challenging if you're on Comcast and the signal keeps cutting out. But
I have Comcast. Mine's fine.
I must have a Linksys problem. Like, every time my neighbor comes home and slams the door downstairs, it's like I lose my connection. Then he settles down, I get the connection back, then he goes out and slams the door again, I lose the connection again. I'm like, hello, either go in or out.
It sounds like your wire's loose.
I don't know. We know I got a lot of things loose, but
marbles.
Yeah. Linksys is the least of my worries at this point. Okay, so this week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of so easy, okay? Totally so easy.
Well, that's if anyone guesses it.
Yeah. What is the name of the one-time tavern owner of the Spy House located in Port Monmouth, New Jersey? That's so easy.
Come on, even I could get this one.
Okay.
Even though he has
the answer in front of him, but he could have gotten this anyway. So be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win a lovely CD, which I think we're starting to run out of if you ever get a chance to make a few more. Maybe I have more at home, but I know I've only got one left here in stock at the office. You'll win a wonderful CD that's crafted by our own Brian Sant of all our earlier podcasts from September 2005 up until April 2006, and the official bumper sticker of the NJGHS. So, send your answer, and you have to send it to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net in order to be considered. Okay, what's the name of the tavern owner of the Spy House in Port Monmouth, New Jersey? If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website's certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Hi, I'm Charles J. Adams III, the author of Cape May Ghost Stories and many other local ghost books, and you're listening to the Deadline podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Okay, well, you know what? I've got to just give one final little plug here to the Ghost World Conference. It's really on target for July 20th, 22nd, I believe, out in Gettysburg. I think it. By the time this show airs, we will have the ghost workshops set up. So not only can you register to be at this three-day major event, or two-and-a-half-day, if you count Friday night, and then all day Saturday and Sunday, but we're going to have workshops going on as well for people who want to just hone their skills in the different areas that are being offered.
Are staff allowed to go to these?
Yes, as long as the booth for the NJGHS is manned at every moment, you know. So if the staff, like you and Laura, want to trade off and take turns, I'm cool with that. Because I have to kind of be like a fly on the wall and be everywhere, you know.
I'm going to leave Laura chained to the desk and I'm going to go.
Oh, nice. In fact, I found out I'm doing one of the workshops. So.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't realize it, but they,
I'll
you know.
Skip that one.
Yeah. Jeff wrote up a really good workshop, and I saw my name on it. I'm like, and I read it, and I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I have time to prepare and I want to do a good job, and it's just the way I am, because I want, if people register for it, I want to know that they got a nice amount of information to take away, and they got their bang for their buck, so. Well, from the class, not from me. I mean, you know. Anyway, so yeah, check out ghostworldconference.com, and you'll be able to register online. I have to warn everyone, November 1st is fast approaching, faster than you think, and that is like the cutoff for the $95 early bird rate.
Ooh, I better go sign up.
Not you. Your staff, remember? You are part of my entourage. You just follow me everywhere. You show up at the movie premiere, and you show up at the gospel conference. Poor Brian. Brian fixes the computers. Brian gets all the equipment. Brian, it's just Brian. Like, instead of just Jack, it's just Brian.
Yeah, Brian's song.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, so check out ghostworldconference.com. Also, if you're an NJGHS member and you would like the buddy rate for being a member of the NJGHS, it is even cheaper than the early bird rate. The early bird rate's $95. The buddy rate for NJGHS members, $85. And get this.
Wow.
It's good until April 30th.
You better do it, people.
So the only way you can get that is to be a member, and you have to email me and ask for the secret link. And that way I can verify in our database that you are in fact a member, and if it comes up that you are, I will send you a link to a private page of the Ghost Worlds conference site so you can register for $85.
Oh, super secret.
Ah, yes. Okay. So, that said, make sure you stay tuned to the NJGHS.net website and sign up for our NJGHS Yahoo group so you can get the latest and greatest info. And I'd like to give a thanks to Brian Sant, as always, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline. Our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. Special shout and hello to Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com for our theme song. And, of course, thanks to all of you who keep listening, sending in your parishioners and things. Keep downloading the shows weekly because, you know, at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.